Y'all know the name. Christina Aguilera, eh? Wow. For those of you that didn't watch the All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game from front to back, I suggest you take a look at the pre-game, I guess, performance by Christina Aguilera. There's three very good reasons why you should watch that. One, she can sing her ass off. And the other two reasons will become very apparent as soon as you start watching it. So, but anyways, welcome to another episode of the Straight Talks podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the NBA All-Star Game, which actually just finished maybe an hour ago. We'll recap what we saw. We're also going to recap a little bit about All-Star Saturday. Talk about some things that need to be changed in the skills competition and the dunk off and all that stuff. We're also going to talk a little bit about some of the issues going on in the world. I opened my mail today actually and was shocked by something, and we'll talk about that too. And we'll also do our weekly album review. So as usual, you can get to us on Twitter at Straight Talks. That's STR the number 8 TALKS. All one word with the ad sign in front. To hit us up on Twitter, you can get to the website at www.straighttalks.com. That's STR the number 8 hyphen TALKS.com. You can also subscribe to us through iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn, and there's also a number of other ways you can get to us on the to subscribe to us. You can also subscribe to us through email. We now have a forum where you can leave your comments and you can start posts and respond to posts and start topics about different things going on, whatever you want. It's our community. We can talk about whatever we want in there. It's uncensored. So, you know, go in there and put down whatever you're feeling to say, and I'm not going to censor it. So, and let's see what everybody else has to say about what you think. So, definitely go in there and sign up and, you know, start putting your thoughts down. But it's not going to be a long show. Normal 40, 45 minutes, whatever it is. But we'll definitely run the gamut this week for sure, because I got a couple of things to get off my chest. So that being said, sit back and take in the Straight Talks. We'll be back after this. So as discussed in the intro, gonna run through the NBA All-Star weekend real quick. A couple of things that I was watching, or that I saw while I was watching All-Star Saturday. The only two competitions anybody really watches intently, I feel, are A, the three-point competition, and B, of course, the dunk-off. And the dunk-off's been soft the last, I'd say, 5 years. And there's a couple of straight talks, rule changes I would like to see. Because the dunk-off is stale, in my opinion. Dunk-off is stale, in my opinion. And then we'll actually get into a little bit about what I saw in the game this evening as well. First off, this was the only time I've really ever sat down and made a conscious effort to watch a three-point competition, because there are pure shooters in that. There were shooters in that competition. Harden, Thompson, Curry, Korver, J.J. Redick. Shooters. Matthews. Shooters in that competition. And I wanted to see who was going to come up on top. Of course, Steph Curry won. I mean, that guy shot the lights out. But that's not what I had a problem with. Three-point competition, I watched it back to front, front to back, whatever. It was good. You know, I found myself cheering for guys and, you know, hoping other guys didn't do so well. But, you know, I actually watched the whole thing. So that's the first time in years I've watched that. And then comes the dunk-off. I think everybody waits for every year, the dunk-off. And again, if you've listened to this podcast, I ain't going to even try to pronounce this guy's last name because I can't. We'll just call him the Greek Freak from the Milwaukee Bucks, whose arms hit his ankles, but whatever. We had Mason Plumlee from the Brooklyn Nets. We had Victor Oladipo from the Orlando Magic and Zach LaVine from the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I was expecting big things from the Greek Freak. This guy's arms are long, so I know he can take off from far and still be able to dunk it. That's what I was expecting. And then take off from the three-point line and dunk the ball. That's what I was looking for. But I think the moment was too big for him. Coming from a different league and maybe not really understanding the showmanship of the culture, especially being in New York. And the dunks that he came out with were kind of soft. I got no problem with that. What I have a problem with is this. I think the NBA, and this is just my opinion, I think the NBA, when it comes to the dunk-off, should come out with a rule. If you're over 6'5", you can't be in the dunk-off. You can't be in the dunk-off. Sorry, I mean, I don't want to see a 6'11", 7-footer dunking. When you see a 6'3 guy take off, and there's just so much air in between him and the floor. And then the power that he generates to dunk the ball, like a Vince Carter who's 6'5 or 6'6 or whatever, and he takes off from far, and the power that he can generate, and you just see the air underneath him, and it's like, whoa. Like, why the hell would I want to see Dwight Howard dunk a basketball? 7 feet tall. It's like Yao Ming should have been in the dunk-off. Like, what are we talking about here? So even though Mason Plumlee's, I think his first dunk or second dunk, I can't remember, the one where they bounced it off the stanchion and he caught it and then reversed it, that's a wicked dunk. That's a wicked dunk if you're 6'3 or 6'4. Because the air that you have to get, wow. But if you're looking at that dunk, it's just like, yeah, okay, but this guy's like a foot off the ground because he's 7 feet tall. He's a foot off the ground. Who cares? Big deal. You can dunk the ball standing on the ground. You just reach up and dunk and jump maybe 2 inches and dunk the ball. Doesn't look good. Now, if Oladipo did that dunk, people would be jumping out the building. So Plumlee's last dunk was pretty good, actually. Well, not his last dunk, but that dunk where he caught it off the stanchion, where I think Thornton threw it off the stanchion and he caught it and reversed it. That was a nice dunk, but it doesn't look that good if a man like Dwight Howard's doing it. And the same with Mason Plumlee. And Dwight Howard's dunk in the dunk-off when he put the Superman cape on, that was rubbish too. That was rubbish too. He just jumped high and threw the ball into the basket. He didn't even dunk it. But I can get what they're saying about the showmanship. He took off this jersey and had a Superman S on his chest, and then he put on a cape, and I get it. I get it. If that's what you're looking for, then Dwight Howard for sure, but I don't want to see a 7-footer dunking in a dunk-off competition. That's for damn sure. Part two, Zach LaVine. I'm not taking anything away from his dunks. Dunks were wicked. But haven't we all seen these dunks before? Haven't we all seen someone jump up in the air, put the ball between his legs, and ram it? We've seen that. Everyone's going crazy. Oh, my God. Yeah, we saw that last year. And then the year before that. And then the year before that. So what are we really getting hype over? And I know, I'm a reasonable guy. I know, what else are you going to do? You have men jumping over cars, you got guys jumping over mascots, and what else is there to do? I mean, after Vince Carter and Isaiah Ryder, don't call me JR, Isaiah Ryder, and even Jason Richardson, they've all done that jump in the air and put it between your legs and cram it with your offhand. We've seen it. And even Zach LaVine, one of Zach LaVine's dunk where he went behind his back. I think Terrence Ross did that a couple of years ago or last year or a couple of years ago whenever he won it. So it's like we're just recycling the same dunks over and over and over again. So my opinion, you got to put some stipulations. Nobody over 6'5 can dunk in the dunk-off, and it's got to be an original dunk. And it's going to be tough, because what are you going to do? There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to do. If I was in a dunk competition, I would set up my dunks like I'm playing in a game, and have maybe 8 other guys on the court, and just run off a pick and then do something like grab the ball, have someone alley-oop it to me, touch the bottom of my shoe, and then dunk it, making it look like it's in a game. I mean, after you do that, that's done. But I don't know what else they can do with this dunk-off, because I've been watching the dunk-off since forever. Back in the days when it was just Dominique and Jordan, it was like, just dunk it as hard as you can, and everybody will go, whoa, and give you a 10. Up until Vince Carter, when it was just like the man has his elbow in the rim. You know, the man pick up the ball from Tracy McGrady, puts it through his legs and reverses it. And not reverses it, but jams it with the reverse hand. Or does a 360 in the air and dunks it with the offhand. Now, there's nothing else you can really do with the dunk competition. And it's sad to say, but you're just going to see the same old recycled dunks that you've seen every year. Next year's winner, I guarantee you, is going to have two dunks where he throws the ball in the air, runs up to it, jumps, puts it between his legs, and crams it. And everyone's going to go crazy. So I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how to fix this, the dunk competition, because every dunk has been exhausted, in my opinion. The next man that takes off from the free throw line, I'm going to personally shoot. All-Star Game is going to be in Toronto next year anyway, so we'll see what happens. Maybe Terrence Ross will join again, but I mean, again, same old dunks. So that's my opinion on All-Star Saturday. I didn't watch any of the skills competition running between pylons and shooting layups and then half-court shot. I didn't watch any of that shit, but I just watched the three-point competition, which was probably one of the best I've seen in a while, and the dunk-off, which is just, even though Oladipo did some stuff, he tried some different things out there, but there's, like I said, there's only so much you can do with the dunk-off. Like, what are you going to do? Aside from dunking on 3 different nets at the same time, I mean, we've seen it all before. And even JaVale McGee dunked on 2 different nets, so it's like, what else are we going to see? So I don't know how the NBA is going to fix it, but I'm sure the commissioner, the new sheriff, will figure it out. Moving on to the game. I don't usually watch the All-Star game. Don't usually watch the NBA All-Star game. If I do turn it on, I turn it on in the fourth quarter, because that's when the guys get serious. But today I watched pretty much the whole game. and the funny thing happened, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, he gets on and he was talking nonsense with Chris Webber and Marv Albert and Reggie Miller, Cheryl Miller's brother. And he was saying, hey, if we win, do I still get a check? I'm on the team, right? So you know where some guys' heads are at. And that's why in the fourth quarter, if the game's close, things get serious. Now you're seeing pick and roll. Now you're seeing guys playing defense because there's a check on the line. Multimillionaires worried about a couple hundred thousand. But anyways, game went as you would expect in the first quarter. Two layups, 93-point attempts, 93 alley-oop attempts, no defense, and no fouls. So that's the typical NBA All-Star game. Nothing happens. Everyone goes a little buck wild, trying different things, trying to ooh and awe the crowd. You're in New York, LeBron tried to throw it off the glass and missed the whole backboard. So it's just funny to me because I'm looking at all the point guards in the All-Star game. And all the point guards are doing work. So who's going to be the MVP of the game? And I mean, you can't give it to anybody. You have to give it to the guy who scores the most points and is on the winning team. The guy almost set a record tonight. And I'm talking about Russell Westbrook, who won the MVP tonight. He almost set a record. I think he was a point away from tying it and 2 points away from beating it, obviously. I'm surprised he didn't get it because he shot everything he touched. So, but this leads me on to my next point. And I'm talking about the point guards. I'm going to run down the list of point guards that were in the All-Star game this week, or this evening. And I'm going to run down their stat list. And you sit back and you tell me, or you can go onto the forum and tell me I'm full of shit, or you can go onto the forum and say, yeah, no, what, Reggie, you're right. Tell me which one of these point guards you would take. Mind you, the position is point guard. So you have Kyrie Irving. Comes in, doesn't, you know, I mean, some of these numbers aren't spectacular, but let me know which one you would take. Kyrie Irving, his line is 11 points, 5 assists off 9 shots. It's not bad. John Wall, 19 points, 7 assists off 16 shots. Okay. Kyle Lowry from the Toronto Raptors, 10 points, 8 assists off 13 shots. Chris Paul, 12 points, 15 assists off 13 shots. Jeff Teague, 14 points, 2 assists off 16 shots. Steph Curry, 15 points, 5 assists off 16 shots. And finally, well, not finally, but Klay Thompson, 7 points, 6 assists off 11 shots. And then we have your MVP, Mr. Russell Westbrook. 41 points, 1 assist, 28 shots. Let me read that line to you one more time. And don't be fooled by the 41 points, please. 41 points, 1 assist, 28 shots. That's your point guard. That's your point guard. That's your point guard that's supposed to be getting everyone else involved in the game. Now, you got to sit back and say, hey, if Russell Westbrook playing on the Western All-Star team is playing with guys with about maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 guys that are probably better than him. And I'd say James Harden's better than Russell Westbrook. Steph Curry, maybe Klay Thompson. Duncan's better. Gasol's better, I believe. Not at the point guard position. Overall game that you would take over him. I would take Gasol over Westbrook. I would take Curry and Thompson over Westbrook. I would take Harden over Westbrook. Even James Harden had a big game. He was licking threes. Still had more assists and less shots than Russell Westbrook. This is the guy that's supposed to be running your team, running your plays. And that's why Kevin Durant's going to leave OKC. You heard it here first on the Straight Talks podcast. Kevin Durant's leaving OKC next year when he's done his contract. You can't win with guys like Russell Westbrook. You can't have your point guard taking 28 shots a night. I'm sorry. You can't. And having one assist? It means everything you touch, you shoot. Can't. Not your point guard. You can't. Sorry. Even Jaxala Kyrie Irving didn't shoot as much as Russell Westbrook. And Kyrie hates a pass. He hates a pass. So I'm not here hating on Russell Westbrook. It's whatever to me. Okay, see, who cares, right? But if you think that's going to be the guy that's going to lead you anywhere, you're sadly mistaken. And like I said, that's the reason why Kevin Durant's going to leave OKC next year. Don't know where he's going, and I'm not angling for him to come to the Knicks or anything like that, but can't play with a guy like that. And it's not just the All-Star game. It's other games as well. How do you get one assist in the All-Star game? Anybody you pass the ball to is going to score. I think the final score was 163 to 158. You got one assist? Your team scored 163 points and you have one assist? And you're the point guard? Huh. I don't know, man. Well, I do know. And OKC ain't going nowhere in the playoffs if they're depending on that type of play from Russell Westbrook. You already know what Russell Westbrook's going to do when he gets the ball. He's either going to take it to the basket or he's going to shoot it. So what are we really talking about here? But anyways, that's just what I saw from the NBA All-Star game tonight. I mean, it was glorified pickup game, like they always say. It was sloppy. There's lots of turnovers and guys trying stuff that they shouldn't be trying. And LaMarcus Aldridge actually stepping out and taking three-pointers and hitting them. So I don't watch enough Portland Trailblazer games to know if that's a regular thing for him. But that was a surprise for me. But those are just the things that stood out to me in the point guard position during tonight's All-Star game. And congratulations to Russell Westbrook. You got an All-Star game MVP. You can put that on your mantle and you can look at it while other guys polish their rings, because you're never going to get one. The last thing I'm going to talk about for the All-Star game, 2015 NYC, and this is just something that I see. I'm always looking around trying to see different things and see who's where and in the background. You guys are looking at the dunk contest. I'm looking to see who's sitting in the seats. Not because I'm stargazing or anything like that, but I just want to see where everybody is. And it bothered me a little bit. And I'll tell you why. I'm looking at the crowd. Maybe, you know, cats that are people that are 18, 19, 20 years old. They might see faces but not know who they are. But guys my age, 38 and plus, they know what Robert Parrish looks like. They know who Penny Hardaway is. They know who all these guys are. Bill Russell and Earl the Pearl. And when you're looking in the crowd and you see Penny Hardaway and his wife tucked in the corner beside the entrance for the players to come in, it's just like, This is one of the league's best players. He revolutionized that position for being how tall that he is. He could see over defenses, and him and Shaq together were unstoppable. He could take you off the dribble, he could shoot over you. He was a new breed of point guard. No more did a point guard have to be 5'11", 5'10", 5'8" anymore. You could have a 6-foot-plus point guard now, with handles that could shoot and could take you off the dribble. And you have him tucked away in the corner. Tucked away in the corner while Rihanna and her friends sit courtside. And Chris Tucker. I don't know why we're seeing Chris Tucker every shot to the crowd. We're seeing Chris Tucker. I don't know why. I also saw Robert Parrish in the crowd. Robert Parrish was like five rows deep behind the net. Can't treat your legends like that. NBA, I'm talking about. You can't treat your legends like that. All-Star Weekend, those guys should be front and center. They should be all around the court so you can see them sitting around the court. Oh, yeah, there's Bill Russell. Oh, yeah, there's Parrish. Oh, yeah, there's Bird. I didn't even see Jordan. Penny Hardaway sitting, I equate it to being in a restaurant. You have Penny Hardaway sitting beside the bathroom or beside the kitchen. You want these guys front and center. I don't want to see Leonardo DiCaprio sitting in the front row waving at everybody and Edie Falco waving at everybody. I don't want to see that. I want to see Bernard King sitting there. You know, I want to see Dr. J sitting there. The legends should line that whole front row of the court. Legends should be sitting in those seats. About Rihanna. Now, don't get me wrong. Rihanna's very pretty. That's a very pretty woman. But still, she can sit second row. She can sit in the second row. There's no problem with that. You'll still see her. But I was just very shocked to see men like Robert Parrish, like, deep. Like, he had to pay for his own seats almost. Deep. In the crowd. And people, no one's bothering him because probably people don't even know who he is. But I think the NBA should change that as well. So that's another thing for the new sheriff to take care of. In this segment, we're going to do our weekly album review. Doing it a little bit early in the show because I got a couple of things I want to talk about later on. I don't want to be interrupted. So this week, we're going to take a listen to Diamond D's album called Dime Piece. It's more of a collaboration CD or a collaboration album. Honestly, never like it when producers rap. I never like it when producers rap. But I shouldn't say that because I like it when Pete Rock raps, actually. He doesn't say much, but his flow, you can understand what he's saying and shit flows okay. You know what I mean? Having a partner like CL Smooth doesn't hurt. So, but Diamond D, gotta stick to making beats. But the cuts that he has on the album that we're going to play right now with different artists are, you know, top notch. And the last song that we're going to preview is the one where he's rapping on it, and it's just like, oh my God. you'll hear his type of I call it ABC flow. You know, it's got different artists on this album. It's crazy the amount of artists. There's Talib Kweli, Black Rob's on it, Sky Zoo's on it, and we reviewed Sky Zoo and Torre last week. Elzai's on it, Pete Rock, Fat Joe, Farside, Pharoah Monch, I think Chi Ali's on it too. High Tech. I think he has a song with Rascas and Freddie Fox, Bumpy Knuckles. He did most of the production himself. Obviously, he's a producer. And DJ Scratch. So, the first song we're going to play off his album is, it's called Take 'Em Off the Map. It's featuring Black Rob. I like this track, actually. So, here we go.
I remind him of an ill piranha. Right now, everybody gon' bow like Rihanna. For a few years, I admit my hands was tied. Certain dudes ain't wanna see me back inside. I'm a threat, fuck you and the powers that be. I'm a bet, you'll soon see the powers me. Me, I've been everywhere, dog, and don't stop. Man, dudes pay homage to Rob, they bust shots. How can I be what New York need? I'm a hustler, the type of dude New York breed. And everybody hate New York, but ain't no way in hell y'all gon' shake New York. So all your haters with the snap on smile, hallelujah, the man be all back on foul. And he back with a situation, diamond the heat maker. And I bust off the code 4-5 peacemaker. When they respect VR, came home on SCR, said fuck parole, I'm on a flight straight to DR. Business up the park, and everybody telling me dumb down, that screw all that I raised.
So that's the first, well, it's the eighth track off the album, actually. It's called Take 'Em Off the Map featuring Black Rob. I like the beat. I like I said previous times, I like simple beats, and it's just a nice little, I don't even know what that click click sound is, and you know, no heavy bass line, no crazy snares or anything like that. It's just a nice simple beat. You can hear the rapping, it's nice and it flows nice. I like Black Rob. I've always liked Black Rob, but yeah, that's the first song that we're going to review off the album. Next one is called Jose Feliciano. And I believe it's just Diamond D rapping over it. So here we go.
there's a such thing as a man being too strong. And I think that's what has happened, because a system, they can't dress me and undress me on what the people want. I'll never sound like nobody else. I ain't gonna do that to myself. I'll sound like myself. Even if you don't like me, it'll be my fault. It won't be because somebody else sound bad and I sound like them.
Yeah. To all my niggas, put your lighters up. To all my bitches looking tight as fuck. Jose Feliciano, ma, I'm out of sight as fuck. I ain't stupid, she just wanna spend the night and fuck. I got my blinders on. All this motherfucking money's what my mind is on. Chris fitted, nice watch, a few designers on. Squizzy, David Copperfield. You the trick, you meet a chick, cop and feel. Preach, St. Joseph, I don't go in the pocket. Credit score under 7, I don't go in the socket. Brash and witty, flash and gritty. Fuck you gonna tell me when your cash is shitty? I'm a bad boy, never got cash with Diddy. Up in rain, surrounded by ass and titty.
So you can see what I'm talking about when I say ABC flow. It's just producers need to produce and leave the rapping to the professionals, as I would say. But I like the beat, and I like the I like the James Brown intro. Yeah, I love the beat actually. I love the calm, you know, not too crazy with the sampling and all that stuff. It's just a simple little, it sounds like a electronic keyboard or something like that, and it just sampled a couple of key presses. So I like that. I like the simple type of beats, as you'll get to know. The next song is called Vanity, and it features Knots. This is the old school type of beats that he used to make long time ago for guys like Freddie Fox and things like that. So, and guys like that actually. So take a listen to this.
What up, Dan? Nah, it's raw.
Only vanity would make you try to hurt me.
Couldn't have said it more better. Y'all some jealous ass bastards. Blame it on the weather. Don't need instructions, dude. My shit been together. My grind go hand in hand with dope peddling. Beating down them drums way before the sun pop up. Been grinding since way back, so you hate when I pop up. Walnut color bins, low mama riding shotgun.
His face look funny in a reflection of that rim, huh?
Does you hate me cause my kick thump harder than yours, snag crack harder than yours, baseline bonkers, you got to be bonkers to fuck with the ball. It's the only thing I can think of, why motherfuckers hate me so much. Not a big dime, two in a row, it's the realest nigga still pumping that shit from the underground.
So that kind of, that type of beat takes you back to sitting in the cafeteria playing dominoes in high school. You know, that's the beat that Bumpy Knuckles or Guru would be killing right now, you know, back in the day. So I like that he took it back to the roots there. This next song is called, and the last song is called, Superman. And the only reason why I like this song is because I'm a horns guy. Anytime you put horns in a song, I'm good. And anytime the horns are arranged correctly, I'm good. I don't care what you're talking about. It's just like anytime you hear a song with horns, it's like that should be my theme song. When I'm walking in a building, it should play this. And this song falls into that category. So take a listen. It's called Superman.
Yeah. I'm like Superman, baby. I get it popping in a single fucking bound, you know? Yeah. For real. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yo, the game used to excite me. To find inspiration now is unlikely. Monkey see, monkey do is unlike me. I'm a vet, I just do it like Nike.
Looking spiffy at all times, you know me. Low key, oyster, perpetual rollie. At the trunk, sipping OJ and Stoli. The flow is effortless and easy like Moby. Like Modi, I'm treacherous when I'm spitting. And you haters catch a fit when I'm shitting. Running through a few pounds out in Britain. Squizzy, I keep the thick chicks smitten. Animal on the boards and the beats. Plus I got a few broads in the streets. I spit game to come aboard when I speak. Listen, tell a lie, I put the board on the beat. So you can call me prime time like Sanders. Keep a few birds in the buckets.
So that's actually the last track off the album. It's called Superman. I love the horns, man. Like I said, love the horns. You could talk about anything. The first couple of times I heard this song, I didn't even hear what he was talking about, but you can hear his ABC type flow here. So I'm a big Diamond D producer fan when he produces stuff, but maybe not as big a fan if he's rapping. Just remember back in the day, he had a song called That's That Shit. That's probably the only song I liked when he was rapping on it. Beats crazy, but maybe you'll catch it in one of the intros or outros and on the podcast. But to pick up this CD, I mean, if you're a Diamond D fan and you love hip hop, go out and get it. To buy it, I wouldn't have. It was actually a copy was given to me, but I wouldn't have bought it. Listening to it, I definitely wouldn't have bought it. But giving you the review, this album's called Dime Piece by Diamond D. There's 18 songs on it, so you might find something there that you like. I know that most albums you're not gonna find 19 songs that are banging, but yeah, take a listen, get it. If you like it, you like it. I'm telling you right now, I could go either way with this. Some tracks are nice, some you skip. Obviously, when you have that many tracks on a CD, you're gonna skip some. So take a listen, go to the forum, let me know what you think. If you like it, put it down. If you hate it, put it down. But yeah, that's the review for this week. And he's going up against so far Sky Zoo and Torres Barrow Brothers from last week. So next week we'll have a new album. I think we're gonna do the new Drake mixtape CD that dropped this past week. We might do it. I haven't even listened to it yet, but everyone says it's crazy. But they all live in Toronto, so. I don't really know. I have to take out the bias and listen to it for myself. But we'll definitely get into something hard next week. In the third segment of our podcast, we're going to talk about the place where I live, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I love Toronto. I love Canada. Ontario? And I'll tell you why. Like I said in the intro, it's been freezing here. Well, I didn't say that in the intro, but I'm telling you, it's been freezing here with the wind chill. I mean, they were talking about minus 33, minus 40, those type of numbers. So I haven't been able to get to the mailbox as often as I'd like to. So today being Sunday, tomorrow being a holiday here in Canada, found some time to make my way to the mailbox. Go out to the mailbox, get the mail. Looking at the letters, but garbage. I know what this is. What's this? Oh, okay. It's from Service Ontario. And from those of you that don't live in Canada or Ontario, or it's pretty much my license renewal form, or the sticker renewal form for your license plate. Birthday's coming up in 3 or 4 months, so send it to you now. Give you some time to get the money together, get it through. I know, it's $75. I do it for 2 years. It cost me $150. And I've already put the money aside for it. It's okay. So I'm looking at the other stuff. I got my insurance renewal for my car. It renews every March. I'm looking at it. It went down. Yeah, it's wicked. And I decide, okay, let me open this. Let me open this Service Canada or Service Ontario letter. Open it up. First thing I see, yeah, you got to renew your driver's license. It's like, oh, shit. 5 years already? Okay, that I don't mind. It's a cash grab, but what the hell are you going to do? It's $80 for 5 years. Okay, what are you going to do? It's $80, who cares? Over 5 years, it doesn't matter. So the next form in the envelope is my plate renewal form. And I usually renew for 2 years. hence the $150. That's $74, but round up to $75, $150, whatever, $148, whatever. Look at it this year, it's $98. Like $98. What? What the hell happened? So I look. Do I? On the form, it'll tell you if you have any outstanding fines or anything like that. I look. I don't have any outstanding fines, no outstanding tickets. I owe the ETR to 407, but we'll get into that a little later as well. And for those of you that don't know, the 407 is a paid toll highway here. I mean, it's the fastest way to get from the east to the west. I mean, you'll be from the furthest east you can be on the 407 to the furthest west you can go on the 407 in a half an hour. If you take any other route, it'll take you over an hour. Over an hour and 20 minutes, over an hour and a half to get there. So the 407 is magic that way. Okay? Yeah, but it's a paid highway. You get charged per kilometer, and if you have there's this little transponder thing that you have to get from the ETR 407, and you put it in your car, and it clocks how many kilometers, and blah, 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 that you've driven, and they send you a bill at the end of the month. It's fucking ridiculous. But anyways, there's a section for ETR fines, and there's money there. Okay, fine. I know I owe them money, but we'll get into that later. But I still can't get over this $98. So I'm like, what the hell? It's Sunday, it's 6 o'clock, All-Star Game starts in an hour and a half. Let me find out what's going on. So I go on to the Ministry of Transportation, Ontario website, and I'm like, well, they have a section there, you can ask a question. I said, how much is it to renew your license? I said, this year it's going to be $98. And I said, okay, so this thing's right. Okay, 10 times out of 10, the thing's right, just you don't know about it. And it's my own fault for not knowing, but I renew every 2 years. So if an increase happened in the year that I don't renew, in the year in between I renew, I won't know because I don't look, or I don't get the information anyway, so I don't look. So it just so happens that this thing has been going up steadily for the last 3 years, and it's not done. In 2011. To get your sticker on your license plate, to renew your tags on your license plate, was $75, like I said. In September 2012, it went up to $82. It's an extra $8 from everybody in Ontario. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Okay? We look at it like, oh, it's only an extra $8. But it's an extra $8 for everybody who drives. You have 3 cars, it's $24. It's an extra $24. And you just multiply that by how many people live in Ontario. And then it's ridiculous. But what are you going to do? You got to pay it. I mean, if you don't pay it, you don't drive. And even if you take public transit to work, you still need a car in this city. If you got to go grocery shopping, you need a car. If you got to take little Johnny to hockey practice, you need a car. You got to go pick up little Susie from ballet, you need a car. You want to go on that road trip, you need a car. You need a car in this city. Well, sorry, in the GTA. Maybe not so much in Toronto proper, but in the GTA surrounding areas around Toronto, you need a car. So everybody has, you have to do it. You have to do it. And everyone's doing it, no problem. But in September in 2012... it went up to $82, and people were going nuts over that. In September 2013, it went up to $90. And September 2014, it went up to $98 to get that little sticker in the top left corner of your license plate that says, I'm valid to drive around Ontario. 100, I'm rounding up, because it is what it is. It's $100. Sorry, it's $98 plus a Timmy's coffee. It's $100. You want to renew for 2 years? It's $200. Okay? Now, I have no choice, so I got to do it. It sucks, and it's a cash grab. But what are you going to do? You got to suck it up and pay the money. So I said, okay, looking down, I want to renew for 2 years, whatever. Fuck, what are you going to do? So I go to check off the 2-year spot, and they're like, No, you can't. There's a little like red. There's like red X's all over it. Can't renew for 2 years. Looking at it, I can't renew for 2 years. And I read on, and it says, "Oh, new fee." And I'm like, new fee. So I go back to the website. Say, what the hell's the fee gonna be in 2015? It's going up to $108 to renew your license plate next year. So they won't let me get it at $98, both at $98 this year. They're only going to let me renew for 1 year at $98, and then they're going to ding me for $108 the next year. And if I want to renew for both years, it's going to be $216 to renew my license plate tags that were $150 2 years ago.
Let me ask you. You're from mad me, Rasta. Hold on, little. What do you mean? What all of that mean?
And you read, and I went online, and I was just, is anybody else pissed off at this? And there's petitions going around. This is ridiculous. And the Ministry of Transportation says, well, we're gonna fix the roads in the GTA in Toronto and this, that, and the. If you've ever driven in Toronto, the roads are shit. The roads are the worst roads ever. There's always construction. I mean, if you live in Ontario or if you live in Toronto, the 401 has been under construction for the last 10 years, I think. It's never going to be done. And this is the money they're taking from us, telling us that we're raising your fees because we're going to fix all the roads. And the roads are shit. The roads here are disgusting. They're terrible to drive on. The Liberals are in charge in Ontario, and they came in with their election platform was no new taxes. And you know what? They're true to their word. There's no new taxes. It's just the fees that you're paying before, they're going to go up. The stuff you're used to paying, yeah, those fees are going up. Sorry. It's like, I've had enough, man. I've had enough. We in Ontario pay the highest, well, not even in Ontario, I guess. Well, yeah, Ontario. We pay the highest transportation tags, licensing fees in the country. Why? To have your car licensed in Sudbury, and I keep naming places that if you're not from Canada, you won't know, or Ontario, you won't know. Sudbury is about 3 hours north of Toronto. To license your car there, it's $45. Why is it double in Toronto? Why is it double in Toronto? It's terrible. Like I said, I love Toronto. In the summertime, in the winter, in the fall, this is the best city. The events that go around in the summer, it's just, it's amazing here. You can do something different every day for 3 months and not do the same thing twice. That's how nice it is in the summertime. In the fall, things start to shut down because it's getting colder. In the winter, you can't do shit. You can go skating, skiing, whatever. You can still go out to clubs and party and stuff like that, but to do stuff at the harbor front and everything like that, it has to be nice outside. And the waterfront's beautiful here. Whole city's beautiful in the summertime. I love it. I love Canada. Been to most part. I've been East Coast, West Coast. I've been everywhere. Love it. Everywhere's nice. But Ontario? Ontario's run like the mafia here. We got Capo Wynn running everything here. You know, and it's like, it's just like every time you got to do something that you need. In 2 years, that fee's going up. You need this essential service? Oh, yeah, the fees are going up. But Ontario, it's just like, get your hands out of my pocket. A normal government would be like, you know what? You need to drive around. You need to drive. Here's what we're going to do. Pay $50 for your licensing and all that stuff. Just give us $50 a year. $100 for 2 years, no problem. Here you go. I'd pay $50, no problem. Wouldn't even be talking about this right now. But you're talking about $108 per year just to put a sticker on it to say that you can drive in Ontario on our roads, on our shitty pothole-filled roads. It's run like the mafia here. Oh, you want a driver's license?
Fuck you, pay me.
Oh, you want a sticker for your license plates?
Fuck you, pay me.
Are you telling me that you want to drive on a highway that you paid for with your tax dollars?
Fuck you, pay me.
It's ridiculous. And the 407 is another ridiculous highway, or another ridiculous aspect of this whole conversation. I got no problem with a private company building a highway that the government sanctions. No problem with it. But the government built this highway. The government built this highway on the assumption that 35 years after this highway was built, all the tolls collected would have paid for the building of the highway, and now everybody can drive on the highway for free. Everyone can drive on it for free because the tolls they've collected over the 35-year span would have more than paid for the highway. So it's just another highway that you can drive on to take away the congestion from Highway 7 and the 401. And the 401's a parking lot, but different subject, different day. So it was owned by the government up until 1999, and they leased it to a company in Quebec for $3.1 billion. Okay, so the company in Quebec, not realizing all the corporate taxes they're going to have to pay on this when the tax man comes, they said, you know, screw this. So they sold it to a private company in Spain. So a Spanish company owns the 407, which is in Ontario, Canada, and they can charge whatever they want because it's their highway. They can charge whatever they want. And the fees for this highway, every year they go up. Every year they go up. I remember when the 407 first came out, you can buy the transponder. I think the transponder was like $7 or $10. You can buy it. It's yours. Not anymore. You got to lease it. It's $3.40 a month. Or if you want to buy or lease it for the year, it's $21 for the year. But you never own it. That's an extra $21.50 if you get it yearly from everybody who's driving on the 407. Again, millions and millions and millions of dollars. If you ever have to go to collections or don't pay your bills on time, they tack on a collection fee, $15. They tack on an enforcement fee, $20. And if someone from the 407 or the ETR ever hears this and they can tell me what the difference between a collection fee and an enforcement fee is, I'd like to know. If you drive on that highway without a transponder, because there's cameras there, they take a picture of your license plate and they send you a bill in the mail. If you don't have a transponder, it's $4 to get on, $4 to get off, plus whatever the per kilometer charge is. I think it was 80 cents. It's more than that. It's got to be more than that now. The last time I drove on it, it was 80 cents per kilometer. So you get your $4. We'll say 80 cents. I know it's higher than that right now, but for the sake of the argument, because I don't know what the fee is, we'll say 80 cents. So it's $4 to get on, 80 cents per kilometer, $4 to get off. This is the highway. And if you have a transponder, it's $3.40 to get on. So where is all this money going? All this money is going to maintain the 407. The 407 is beautiful to drive on. Smooth, fast. There's nobody on it. It's beautiful to drive on. If you're late and in a hurry and you absolutely need to be somewhere, like if you're going to the airport or something like that, and you absolutely have to be there at a certain time, 407 is the way to go. There's nobody on it. And you can do 140 kilometers an hour. Which leads me to the second half of my beef with my Service Ontario letter. And I'm reading, and it tells me that I have X amount of money owing on 407 fines. I got no problem with that. I drove on the 407. I knew what it's going to cost. I don't have a transponder. I know what it's going to cost. I'll pay it. That's no problem. But you can't get your sticker for your license plate until you pay that fee. And I'm sitting here scratching my head, and I'm like, well, I don't understand this. It's a highway owned by a private company from Spain. It's nothing that supposedly has nothing to do with the Ontario government. It's not us charging you. It's that company in Spain that's charging you. Don't look at us. But I can't get my sticker for my license plate until I pay this fee? Why? When did the Ontario government become a collection agency for private business? If that's the case, I have my own company. I got some clients that aren't paying. Can you garnish some wages so that I can get paid? If you're in the business of collection, let me know. I know tons of people that go into the ministry to get their license renewed or their license plates renewed. And it's like, yeah, you got to pay this first. And then when you pay it, you got to come back with a receipt saying that you paid it. And then we can give you your sticker. It's just like, what the hell does the 407 have to do with my license plates from the Ministry of Ontario? Well, we're all smart enough to know what's really happening, right? I hope so. And getting on to the Ontario government, this is just an aside. It has nothing to do with licensing or anything like that. The Pan Am Games are in Toronto, GTA, this upcoming summer, 2015. I think it starts in June or July. Sorry, the Pan Am Games are going to cost. Oh my God, buddy, it's like that saying, man. You got to laugh to keep from crying. It's going to cost the province of Ontario $2.5 billion to run this stupid Pan Am Games that we don't have any money for. No new taxes, by the way. Like I said, no new taxes, but the fees that you're paying are going up. All these fees are going up left, right, and center. Left, right, and center fees are going up. We're paying more for everything. And now you're going to host these games. It's going to cost $2.5 billion to run for what? You're building swimming pools, you're building new gyms, you're building places for the athletes to sleep. There's a new movie theater going up in Markham because the swimming pool is in Markham, and the athletes are going to be staying in a new complex built for them, and they need to have some entertainment. So they're building a brand new Cineplex Odeon Theater there. They're building a new hotel there. It's like, my fees are going up left, right, and center, and then now you have money to do all this shit? Is this really what's happening? And it's just funny that the fees for the licensing go up to $108 over three years. And the Ontario government has just decided to give another $75 million to this stupid Pan Am Games project because they need there's some other projects that have to be built, and another $75 million from the Ontario government straight to the Pan Am Games. I'm still waiting for them roads to be fixed. I'm still waiting to get a break from Ontario. We pay the most taxes in the country. You tax my paycheck, and then you tax me 13% on everything I buy with my taxed money. Fucking awesome. Like I said, love Toronto. Love Canada. Ontario, I don't know, man. It's like a scene out of Goodfellas or The Godfather. It is crazy here. It is crazy, and no one can do any. You can't do anything about it. You don't want to renew your license plate? Can't drive. You don't want to pay $80 for your license? Can't drive. So everyone has to suck it up and complain to themselves and go in there and yell and scream and hand over their credit card. And the Pan Am Games, the building that they're building for the Pan Am Games is going to kill me. Because I'm going to make it a point to do this too. I'm going to make it a point when the Pan Am Games are done and everything's finished and all the athletes have gone back to their old countries and whatever, and these buildings are still there, the new swimming pool's there, the new gym's there, I'm going to go in there and try and play basketball. And I know what's going to happen. The guy's going to look at me and say, "Do you have a membership?" I'm going to be like, "What? Buddy, I paid for this damn building 6 times over. Get the fuck out of the way." Because you know that's going to happen. They're going to turn it into a gym. They're going to turn it into whatever. And you got to pay to go in after you've done raised all my taxes so that I can pay to build this stupid thing. Ontario's supposed to be cash strapped. Where the hell did they get $75 million for the Pan Am Games? And they build housing by the waterfront and they build all this stuff. And they said, after the Pan Am Games, we're going to turn them into condominiums and then affordable housing. And it's like that land's been there for how many years now? You could have done that 20 years ago. 10 years ago, you could have made that into affordable housing, that area there. Why now? Because you have to house athletes. And after it's there, now you're going to charge people an arm and a leg to live there because it's on the water? First world problems, I know. Ontario problems, I know. But I'm just letting you know what's going on in this place. It's crazy. It's crazy. But what are you going to do? It's the province we live in, and we're going to have to deal with it. In the last segment that we're going to have for this week's show, we're going to talk about something that happened in North Carolina this past week, where a man named Craig Hicks shot and killed 3 Muslim students that attended, I believe, the University of North Carolina. Now, the school it wasn't on school campus or anything like that, so it has nothing to do with the school, but the reason why this intrigued me was because, And I know you got to be delicate the way you phrase it, but this is straight talk, so I'm going to give you the straight talks. The reason why this is prominent, for me anyway, is because now we're talking about a white guy killing a Muslim, or killing Muslims. If it was Muslims killing white people, or anybody, you know, Christian, Catholic, whatever, I shouldn't say white people, I should say Christian, Catholic, whatever, whatever. Wouldn't this be viewed as a terrorist attack? I think so. I think the media would spin it into a terrorist attack. So when it's reverse and Christians or Catholics or whoever, Anglicans, Protestants, whatever, are killing Muslims, is that not a terrorist attack? And I was listening to a radio show in Toronto about this very issue. And somebody called in. Actually, I heard two guys call in. One guy was Muslim, one guy was, I guess, Christian, Catholic, whatever. And the Muslim called in, you know, rational guy. He's like, look, some Muslims do bad things, just like some Christians do bad things, just like some Catholics do bad things, just like some everything do bad things. And me being from a minority, visible majority, we're not a minority here, we're a majority, but I'm a black man. And every time you think of black people, it's guns and gangs and blah, 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 blah. So every black person's in a gang or has a gun. It's not true, obviously. But he gets on the radio and he says, hey, not all Muslims are that. Not all Muslims are Al-Qaeda. Not all Muslims are from Afghanistan and want to destroy the Western way of life. You know, you're talking about 6-7% of the whole Muslim population that are that way. Don't lump us all into the same pile. And it's mainly the media that's doing it. It's the media that's doing it. It's the media that's scaring everybody into this frenzy that Muslims are this and Muslims are that. I'm not Muslim or anything like that. I'm just stating what I see. So he gets on the show and he's like, yeah, you know, you're talking about 6-7% of Muslims are like that. So don't lump everybody into this. And then the radio host is like, yeah, you're right. 100% you're right. Yeah, thanks for the call. Next guy gets on, Jimmy Bob from wherever the hell, Bob Cajun or whatever he's from, gets on. And he's like, well, you know, the Muslims have been attacking, he said us. I don't know, we're in Canada. They haven't been attacking us, per se, to the extent that they've been attacking the United States. But they've been attacking us, I guess. We'll say us as in Christians, I guess, for so many years. It's kind of, you know, when we attack them, it's like, well, you know, you've got us for so many years. It's time we got you. And the host was just like, whoa, wait a minute. He's thinking like me. It's like, is this guy saying it's okay for anybody to go out and kill Muslims because of 9/11 or whatever incident happened? Is he saying it's okay because they've killed 100 of whoever, we can go and kill 100 of them? And the radio has cut that off quickly, because I believe, and he probably believed, that he was going in the same direction that I think he was going in, which was like, it's okay to kill them because they've killed us. And it's like, wow, people out there think that, eh? Sad state of affairs. And I'm trying not to turn this into a Muslim versus Christian versus Catholic versus Protestant versus whatever the hell you are, atheist or whatever. They're trying to turn it into like a homicide over a parking space. They lived in the same building complex, and they said they were having a disagreement over a parking spot at the complex. So this guy went, loaded up some guns, and shot three people execution style over a parking space. I think it might be better to say, yeah, it was a terrorist attack. You didn't like them because they were Muslim. To kill three people over a parking space. What are we talking about here? Very unstable mind. If that's the case. And the parking space story and the parking space aspect of this leads me to a story of an incident that I had personally. Not to the extent of this story, but I mean, a friend of mine was living in a he was living in an office building, or sorry, an industrial building that was turned into lofts but it wasn't zoned for housing. So it was one of those things where I know people live in there, but I don't know people live in there type of thing. You know what I mean? So whatever. Since there wasn't any housing per se in the building, or zoned for housing, there was no parking spaces. So you park wherever you can park. You get a spot there, you park there. You get a spot there, you park there. That's it. It's not like the condos nowadays when, you know, you buy a condo and you get spot number 20. And no one can park there except you because you pay for it. It's not like that. It's park wherever you can. So there's this one parking space right beside the front door. And it's against the wall. If you park in that space, the passenger side door, you can't open it because it's right against the wall. But it's you take three steps and you're by the door. You're at the front door. And one of the tenants there had taken some spray paint and written, "Do not park here." Skull and crossbones. He had spray painted like a gun and with somebody holding a gun, a car beside a stick man, and the gun shooting the guy, the stick man beside the car. Kind of like saying, yeah, if you park here, I'll shoot you type of thing. My friend knows who the guy is. I'd never seen him. So one day my friend had a dog. We took him out for a walk, and on our way back, my friend said, "Hey, that's the guy that wrote that stuff on the door on the wall. Don't park here." And I turned my head and I look at this guy, and it was like typical, you know, don't mess with me type of guy. 5'8", built like a brick house. With two Rottweilers running around in the yard. Brush cut, tank top, camouflage shorts. The typical guy that you think, oh shit. You know what I mean? If shit goes sideways, this guy's going to pull out an army knife and AK-47 and we're all dead. That's what he looked like. So it's like, yeah, now that I see the guy who wrote that, yeah, I'm not even going to come close to parking. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And I'm a pretty big guy. And I don't want to have anything to do with that. So for about 3 or 4 months, I thought, yeah, man, this guy's like that, this guy's like that. And actually, we went down there one time. We were walking my friend's dog again, and we went down there, and he was down there, and we started talking, and he was like, this guy turned out to be the coolest guy you've ever met. And it's just like, you know, don't judge a book by the cover type of thing, but this guy was cool. Yeah, come in, have a couple of beers, and the dogs were the friendliest dogs I've ever met that were Rottweilers. But... you know, so I was shooting a shit with the guy, and I was like, "Hey, man, you have that sign on the door. What would happen if I ever parked my car there?" And the guy just turned at me and looked at me, and he's like, "Can you read?" I'm like, "Yeah, I can read." It's just like, now I'm getting nervous. I'm like, "What the fuck did I just do?" "Yeah, I can read." He's like, "Well, what does it say?" I says, "Don't park there." He goes, "Yeah, so don't park there." And the look in his eye was just like, oh, shit. Maybe we should leave. Because I guarantee you, if I ever parked there, the coolness factor would be right out the window. And that shit would escalate from 0 to 100 real quick.
Real fucking quick.
So, you know, don't even bother. But, I mean, I'm making fun of the situation that I was in. And it's not to the extent of the situation in North Carolina, but... He's been charged, the shooter's been charged with 3 counts of, I believe, first-degree murder. But the question I want to ask is this a terrorist attack? I mean, how many deaths does it take for it to be a terrorist attack? If a Muslim kills one Christian or Catholic, is that a terrorist attack? If they kill 100, I guess it turns into a terrorist attack. If one Christian or Catholic kills 3 Muslims, is that a terrorist attack? Like, how many lives need to be lost before it turns into a terrorist attack in the media's eyes? And this is a great subject for the forum. So you can go on there. There's a section for politics, actually, that you can post topics. And I think I might post a topic in there to see what type of responses I get. Because that's my question. Is that a terrorist attack? Should that be deemed a terrorist attack on Muslims? And I'd be very interested to hear what people have to say about that. But anyways, got a little deep there, but it can't be all sunshine and fun every time. The world's not like that. So as usual, you can reach me at Twitter, on Twitter, at Straight Talks, STR, The number 8, TALKS, all one word. You can subscribe to the forum, or actually you can go onto the forum through our website, www.straighttalks.com, STR, the number 8, TALKS.com. And there's a tab at the top called Forum. You can click on that. It'll take you straight to the forum. You can respond to the topics, leave topics. Like I said, I'm going to put this as a topic or a poll, see how many people vote. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. You can subscribe via email as well. So there's numerous ways you can get the podcast. You can just listen to it from the website as well. If you don't want to subscribe or download, you can listen to it straight from the website. But if you want to navigate away from our page, please click play podcast in the new window. It's right below the play button inside the episode section. So do that and you'll be able to navigate wherever you want and the podcast won't interrupt. So thanks for listening for this week. This is episode 14, I believe, of the Straight Talks podcast. And we'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Y'all know the name.
That joint back and banged on him.